encourage all of you, if you can come out Wednesday, but the worship will be beautiful as always, and so will the food and the fellowship. Now this Saturday, Jerome Halstead, a very good friend of mine, of all the friends I have, which are many, he is the most like a limpet of any of them I've ever met. Do you know what a limpet is? Let's say a barnacle. A barnacle. A limpet. You ever heard of a limpet mine? They used to bang them on the bottom of boats in the Second World War. I'm too old again. But a barnacle, you know, when it sticks, it's stuck. And that's Jerome Halstead. Don't matter what you say, how much you offend him, don't matter how hard you hit him with a cricket bat, he can't go away. And he is one of the greatest men I personally know, and he is coming here to speak to us next Saturday morning. Men, ladies, we love you. You are not welcome. And it's a men's breakfast, first one we've had, and I just want to encourage all the men, bring a friend, and we are going to have a wonderful time, 8:30 next week. I continue to send out emails, but if you don't get emails, we have to announce. Then the following Thursday the 25th, David Phillips will be here. David Phillips is the, what's his title? The operations director of Overland Missions. Overland Missions is possibly the most cutting-edge extreme missions ministry in our nation. And Dave Phillips is the director of that. Phillips Mather, some of you have met before, is the founder of that ministry. He will be here Thursday at 7, the 25th. Young people, it's not an option. You will be here, or I will chase you. You need to meet this young man. This young man's in his 20s. He's already ministered in 40 nations. Now, that's pretty phenomenal in my thinking. And the last thing I want to say on that is Monday the 29th is the first night that we are going to begin our weekly Monday prayer meeting in this building. That will go on ad infinitum, Monday the 29th. Okay, let's turn now into our Bibles, please, to James chapter 1. Let's just give thanks one more time. Father, this morning I thank you that we are going to look into your word with the mind of Christ. We are not going to look into the word with a carnal mind. We're not going to look into the word with a mind that can only academically grasp. But we're going to look into the word with a mind that totally can receive and understand the wisdom of God. So Father, I just thank you that today we just will not recognize ourselves as being mere men with carnal minds, but being as new creations that can understand your life. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of James. Book of James, often called the Epistle of Straw, especially by a certain young man by the name of Martin Luther, who in the midst of preaching justification by faith, found in the book of James, he says that faith without works is dead. We'll explain that another time. But I want to say this, there are three realities that we must grasp. Reality one, knowledge. If you don't know the truth, then there is no way you can put it into your life and depend on it, stand on it, and rely on it. If you don't know the truth, then there is nothing that God can do. Second, if you don't understand the truth, it's no good being a Bible quoter. Being a Bible quoter is not the point. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, and all you're getting, get understanding. It says wisdom is the principal thing, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So therefore, the Bible very clearly says in Hebrews chapter 1, by faith we understand. Stay with me, folks. Don't be distracted by the children. The children are not distracting. The parents are distracted. I just want to encourage you, stay with me. So therefore, we've got to first know the Bible, we've got to know the truth, then we've got to understand the truth, and we understand by faith. And the reality is when I could see, I got saved by faith. I did not get saved by understanding. I got saved by faith, and then I realized then I can understand by faith. Have any of you ever got healed by faith? Right, you get healed by faith, therefore you understand by faith. Are you with me this morning? By faith, Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's not the point. So therefore, every single person that has ever been under a cloud of accusation of ignorance, now is the time for you to resist the cloud, because God wants to give you an understanding. So first thing is knowledge. The second thing is understanding. And the third thing is action. Action. You see, the faith that proved Abraham was the action of taking his son up Mount Moriah and raising the knife. That action proved he totally believed God and totally believed in the resurrection. Because he believed, according to the book of Hebrews, that even though he'd killed his son, God was able to raise him up. So everything we have in our life is based on our belief in the resurrection. It's based on the belief. I'd like to just encourage you, your sin is paid for by the cross of Jesus Christ, but your new life is given by the resurrection. It's given by the resurrection. When you were raised with Christ is when you received newness of life. The cross dealt with your sin. The resurrection gave you life. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to get excited about this. Praise God. Okay, here we go. James 1. There's so much. I know. Don't know where to start. As far as verse 12, I'm going to read quite a section. By the way, there's a few guest Bibles under the chairs in front if you need one. There's not too many. We're going to order some more. But if you can pass them around. Verse 12, James 1 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." Did anybody see that? "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he's proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord promised those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." I'd like to remind you that when Jesus walked the earth and was tempted by the devil, he walked the earth as a man. Because it says here, God can't be tempted, proving that Jesus walked the earth as a man. He laid aside his majesty and came to this earth as a man and defeated sin in the flesh. We cannot use flesh as an excuse for sin. You know what I'm going to do in the future? I'm going to get a few ripe tomatoes and give them to the greeters and say, every time you don't agree with a preacher, throw this at him. Because that way I'll not... No, that might not be a good idea, because some people might want to do that anyway. Yeah, that's true. Forget that idea. We'll nix that idea. Okay. Look at this. Verse 14. Are you with me? "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away." Somebody say drawn away. "When he is drawn away and enticed by his own desires." See that? "When he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my loved brethren." Okay, just want to touch on this for a moment. I'd like to encourage you to look at this. This is clearly saying that sin to the believer has to be conceived. Most of you are saying, "But it's already in me." Well, that's not what this says. Sin has to be conceived. When you're drawn away by your own desires, and your desires come to you through your eyes and your ears. You see, most of us have never actually devised a sin. We've only seen a sin and then be tempted by it. So consequently, we need to understand that sin is not an issue whether it's internal or external, although I believe it's external to the believer. The issue is this: when Adam was made, he was made without sin in him. Is that okay? There was no sin in Adam when God made him, but he sinned. Why? He was drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And sin was conceived. And when sin became full grown, it brought forth death. Okay, very theological this morning. Therefore, I'll leave the nods and the tomatoes as they are. Because verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning." Now, this is the beautiful part. Are you ready for verse 18? I hope you're listening to me. "Of his own will, he brought us forth." How? "By the word of truth, that we may be the first fruits, a kind of first fruits for his creatures." I'd like to encourage every single one of you, if you're wondering about your purpose, you have been brought forth by God's will. Every one of you. Every one of us. You are not the opinion of your father. You are not the rejected object of your mother or your divorced spouse. You are not who you think you are. You are exactly who God says you are, because he brought you forth by his will, and it was the word of truth that did it. This is why the Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, you were not born by the will of man, nor were you born by the will of flesh, nor were you born by the will of blood, but you were born by the will of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, I am not standing here because 58 years ago, an English man and an English woman had decided to have a family. I am here because God has brought me forth by his truth, and I know it. And so convinced about it, there's nothing anybody can tell me to change my mind. Whew! Therefore, my beloved brethren, here is a cultural scripture. Are you ready for this cultural scripture? Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Now, if that isn't a cultural scripture, I don't know what is. Nip, 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 nip. Anyway, okay, here we go. Love this one. Verse 21, therefore, somebody, when you ever see a therefore, see what it's there for. Right, we've just read the text. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. Somebody say meekness. Do you realize it's impossible to grow in God if you're not teachable? It's impossible. Blessed are the meek, for they shall. The what? Bada bing. By humility and fear of the Lord comes riches, honor, and life. If you do not have a teachable spirit, you will grow up stubborn. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and iniquity. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. But then it goes on and says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, the implanted word. This is not talking about, oh, I know that scripture. What do you mean, I know that scripture? You have the knowledge. Do you understand that scripture? Or are you almost persuaded by it? Or is that word engrafted and implanted, and now you actually do it, therefore it's bearing fruit? Are you with me on that thought? Didn't Jesus say in John 15, in fact, he said it 10 times. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. John 15, 7. Okay, I'm not trying to show off that I know the Bible, but I know the Bible. Verse 23, here we go. This is the text I want to get at. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, are you listening to me? And continues in it. Somebody say continue. Here we go. And he's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Now, how many of you got times? How many times have you heard this verse? This James, this crippling verse? I shouldn't have said it that way, but that's kind of what I'm trying to get across it. How many times have you heard, oh, yeah, they hear the word, but they're not doers of the word. And how many times have you heard that on yourself? Yeah, well, I'm just not doing it. Oh, man, you know, this is so hard. I've got to do and all that. Now, let's understand the subject of the new covenant is the gospel. I'm not ashamed, as I preached last week, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It is the power of God to salvation. And as it says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. Therefore, if I want to be full in my maturity and everything God has to offer for me, I need to be saved to the uttermost. And the thing that got me saved is the thing that will take me to the uttermost, the gospel. Can you hear that? It's the gospel. The gospel is the good news of what Jesus has already done 2,000 years ago, and now I need to know it, understand it, and do it. You got me? I don't have to become it. Are you with me? So many Christians are still trying to become what they already are. So many Christians wake up like I would every morning, Lord, make me 6'4". I already am. It's a stupid prayer. And how many of us are praying, Lord, give me love. You got it. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? And all these things that we're desiring, we don't realize that they're already in us, in Christ Jesus, but only the gospel can reveal it to me. When you got born again, you did not get born of an Irish seed or an English seed or an American seed or an Italian seed or a male seed, a female seed, a black seed or a white seed. You got born again of an incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. That's the seed you're born of. Consequently, if you begin to understand the seed, hallelujah. Remember what I told you before? What is the battle with salvation? The first promise of God, your seed is going to crush his seed. Remember that? Galatians, the first promise of God, your seed is going to defeat his seed. So if you don't understand seed, you're never going to get the gospel. Because it doesn't begin with the leaves. Oh, my problem is you don't believe the seed. That's your problem. Come on, saint, somebody help get a tomato. Can you see what I'm saying? Oh, my problem is, you look at your problems. Your problems are leaves, branches, twigs. When you look at the tree, say, look at the mess. Oh, God, you've been ignoring the seed. You've been ignoring the seed. I remember when we used to go to the Mount of Olives. Well, we lived there, but what they call the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem. And they've got these huge olive trees there, like this. And everybody goes, oh, these olive trees, oh, they were here when Jesus was here. You know, oh, and all that good stuff. If you live by feelings instead of by faith. But anyway, to kind of raise it, can we? No, it's a good statement, unfortunately. And then I went there once, and the tour guide, because we used to take tours there, the tour guide said, yeah, you've got to remember that every single tree in the Judean hills was cut down to burn Jerusalem down. So these trees wouldn't have. And everybody goes, oh, God. Their emotions were distraught, right? But he said, the interesting thing about olive trees is you can cut them down and burn Jerusalem as they did in 70 AD. He said, but they'll grow again. They'll grow again. You see, because the life is in the seed. It's in the seed. And until you get your confidence in the seed, instead of the flesh or the fruit. I mean, how many people today are trying to grow fruit without seed in it? Hmm? Yeah. We don't want to deal with the seeds. We just want the fruit. I mean, do you ever buy grapes with seeds in it? Nobody buys grapes with seeds. You know, I said, seedless grapes, grape full of seeds. Ugh. You know, because it's trying to get us away from our non-agrarian society to understand that everything in our life begins with seed, no exception. Love, joy, peace, friends, money, health, everything. It begins with seed. Whatsoever you sow, that you shall also reap. Okay? Bit of a bunny trail. Handle it. Okay. Let's go back to verse 23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and he goes away and forgets what kind of man he is. But when he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he will be blessed in all he does. Time magazine. I'm not a big fan of Time magazine, but we had some spare airline miles, so they offered us a subscription to Time magazine. And every year you might see or not see that Time magazine offers their Man of the Year. Have you ever seen that, anybody? You know, their opinion, of course, I don't exactly value their opinion too much. If you're a Democrat, George W. Bush has been Man of the Year twice. That would spoil your day, wouldn't it? And, you know, different people. Last year it was the Gateses and Bono, you may remember, because of their work, the anthropological foundation that wants to help people, especially Africans and that. And so, you know, over the years, many people have been Man of the Year, many presidents. You can tell the value of Time's opinion because they've also chosen people like Adolf Hitler for Man of the Year, Joseph Stalin. So I thought, well, maybe their opinions are a bit, But nevertheless, this year they had a very unusual choice for Man of the Year. And on their magazine, they did this. Did anybody else see it? There's a mirror. And they're saying that Man of the Year is you. Man of the Year is you. Now, a lot of critics said, well, that's a bit of a cop-out. You know, you're too stinking chicken to stick your neck out and say who it really is. But I kind of like that. You see, because I think the gospel thinks this way. I think the gospel thinks, yes, we've had a Man of the Year. Read Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is God's Man of the Year. Talks about, I got PC now, Person of the Year, excuse me. This church knows when I say man and woman. The Bible doesn't say if any person be in Christ, they're a new creation. It says if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Ladies, include yourself. So here we have a situation where the thrust of importance, when you read the Bible, Hebrews 11, does everybody know that Hebrews 11 is considered the Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame? And so with this Faith Hall of Fame, we see Abraham and Moses and Sarah and Gideon and all these great people. And then we realize that once God had finished the gospel, he made it a mirror. He made it a mirror. And he said, you are the person of the year. You are the man of the year. You are the one. And you need to look into the perfect law of liberty. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is the perfect law of liberty. Now, I want to say something. I'm not saying I want to preach the gospel this morning. The good news. So what is the good news in he who hears the word but doesn't do it is a loser? What's the good news in that? The good news is I can hear it and I can do it. See, if God ever tells you what will happen if you don't do it, he's actually telling you what you can do. That's why it's called the gospel. See, otherwise it would be called the bad news. The good news is Jesus Christ can help you in every area of your life. The bad news is you can't do it. That's not Jesus. Jesus comes along and says, religion teaches you that if you, with all the effort you have and all the piety and self-righteousness, can become better than you were yesterday, maybe. That's religion. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, hey guys, guess what? 2,000 years ago, Jesus did it. It's over. Finish. When are you going to believe it? Look into the mirror of his word. Look into the mirror of the perfect law of liberty. The newness of life, as the Bible calls it. Now, so here we go. Possibly the greatest message in the Bible, obviously of Jesus' salvation. Jesus is the message of the Bible. If ever you read the book of Revelation, right, which is what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the end times. Can we just make sure we've got that? The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he writes to seven churches, which means to say that sometime in your life, you're going to be probably in one of those seven situations. Therefore, they all apply to all of us. Okay, don't say, oh, we're this church or we're that church or we're the other church. No, it's saying you are one of these seven at some time or the other. But the message to all of them Four or five times I agree the message is repent. In other words, will you stop thinking the way you're thinking? You're wrong. If you was to get that word, if they took the word repent out of the Bible and say, therefore, stop thinking the way you're thinking and think like God because you're wrong. It might be easier for us to get it, you know. If we, every time we saw the word repent, said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If you see what I'm saying? The word repent, we'll go, oh, When that isn't what repent says. Repent says, hey, you've done well up to now, but you're still thinking wrong in a lot of ways. Start thinking like Jesus. That's what repentance means. Faith, repentance towards God, and faith towards Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? Looking unto Jesus. Not looking unto your sin. Looking unto Jesus. That's the gospel. Okay. So, here's my thing. Four or five times it says repent. And then every time it says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Not the circumstances, not your experience. I'm losing some of you. I don't want to lose some of you. See, faith does not come by experience. Romans 10 very clearly says faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God. The Bible very clearly says in Romans 10, do not say who shall ascend, that is to go up into heaven to bring Christ from above, or who shall descend, that is to go into the earth and bring him up. But it says, but the word is nigh you, it is in your mouth. It is in your mouth, you see, because confession, I'm going to read it to you. If you want to turn with me to Romans 10, I really want you to see this. I know I'm preaching a lot, and I know you can't get it all, but I have to preach this gospel this morning. It is burning in me. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 8, it says, what does it say? Talking about the righteousness of faith. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That's Romans 10:8. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here we go. That if you confess with your mouth, here we go, confess. The minute we hear the word confess as Christians, we go, oh, I've got to go and confess my sin. That is John the Baptist stuff. That is unbeliever's baptism. That is not the believer's baptism, okay? Listen to this. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you see that? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you confess your mouth, I've been born of his seed, if you confess with your mouth, I've been made in his image and his likeness, are you with me here? If you confess with your mouth, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. If you confess with your mouth, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. If you confess with your mouth, he who has begun a good work in me shall perform it. You see what I'm saying? Instead of confessing with your mouth, oh God, I'm so useless. I always blow it. That is not confessing the Lord Jesus. That is confessing carnality. Am I getting loud? I thought I was. Can you see what I'm saying? Oh, the trouble with you is that you're not confessing Jesus. And you're looking into a mirror and forgetting who you are. Ah! If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. What part of that don't you believe? It's the gospel. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not giving you my testimony. You see, it doesn't matter what my testimony is, the gospel doesn't change. Okay, here we go. Four or five times it says, repent. Then it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear by the Spirit church. But what's the message? To him that overcometh. God, that is a great statement. To him who overcomes. I'll give the tree of life, I'll give a crown, I'll give this, I'll give that. Oh, man. And how many of us struggle with the thought of being able to overcome sin in the flesh? Because religion won't let you have it. Oh, now I'm getting mad. You see, religion won't let you be free because religion wants to put you in dependence on me. Come on, someone. I'm speaking pastoral suicide again. Religion wants you dependent on me. To him who overcometh. Now, Okay. Now, what does it say with a little bit of the book of Revelation? Now, when it's called Revelation, can't even think where it is. Is it Revelation 12? When it talks about they overcame? Revelation 12, 11. Listen to this. How many times have you heard this? How many times have you heard this? Are you with me? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Remember that bit? And the word of their testimony. Remember that bit? And the last bit? The bit we all ignore in America? They did not love their lives until the death. Okay, we can ignore that because we're Americans. Right, stay with me now. I want you to stay with this. Because what I'm going to preach in the next 5 minutes is the gospel. Not my experience, not your experience, the gospel. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Okay, what's your testimony? Oh, I've been so good since I found Jesus. I used to be a drunk. And I haven't had a drink for 27 years. Until last night, I got absolutely smashed. Now, what are you going to fight the devil with? Now, come and help me. What are you going to fight the devil with? Your testimony's just got destroyed. So now you've got to wait another 27 years for a testimony. Somebody help me this morning. You see, the minute you use your testimony, it's self-righteousness. Can you see that? So what testimony is he talking about? Because it clearly says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. I've actually written it down. Somebody give me a bulletin. Thanks, hon. There it is. This is the word of your testimony. Are you ready? I'll read to you. It says, to begin with, Tuesday says that if you confess the Lord Jesus, and faith comes by hearing, not by your testimony, your experience, or your opinion. Faith does not come by my experience. And I have more experience than most. Right. On Wednesday, the scripture says, what are you talking about? Some are following Paul. Some are following Apollos. Are you not carnal and acting like, Andy Elms preached it, mere men? You see, as minute you get carnal, you're a mere man or woman. You're no longer the person of the year. You're no longer the man of the year. You're no longer looking into the perfect law of liberty. You're looking into your own testimony and you're following man, and man is going to fail you. That's why last week I preached in Jeremiah 17. Cursed is every man who trusts in man, including the pastor. Who said amen? Throw them out. Okay, now here we go. This is the only testimony. I want you to hear this, please. This is the only testimony that will overcome the devil. Here it comes. Please, nobody move. It will take me 2 minutes. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Romans 6, 4, I am buried with him in baptism. Ephesians 2, 4, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. That is the gospel and that is the truth of today, not when you die. Does anybody hear me? So, okay, devil, you want to fight? You see what I'm saying? Forces of darkness, you want to come against me? Remember the other day when I said I was walking across the parking lot, having a bad day, really bad day, nothing but bad news. And I said, Lord, I need some good news. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's the gospel. Blessed be our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has birthed us again unto a living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And when he rose, I rose with him. In newness of life, which is what James keeps telling me to look into, not the natural mirror of my carnality. So I want to read it again. Don't act like mere men. Understand, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by God, not by experience. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live through the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Romans 6, I am buried with him in baptism. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, you are dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are dead. Unless you keep bringing him up. Ephesians 2, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. I've got so much more to share. And I'm willing to go on for 5 minutes, but let me just close on this thought. I'm actually willing to go on for a few hours. That's what I'd like to do. Because this I like to do more than anything in the world is the gospel. Okay. Just listen to this quickly in closing. A story about Father Abraham. Abraham, what? I've chosen you. You have? I want you to be the father of many nations. Okay. Right, that's faith. He's asking you to do what you can't do. How many of you are still doing what you can do? You're not living by faith. So therefore, I'll continue. Okay. And then that happened, and he took him into the promised land, remember? Then the supernatural birth. How old was 90, was she? Help me, was Sarah about 90 when she gave birth, roughly? A 90-year-old barren woman, thank you, Jesus, gave birth. Woo! A 90-year-old barren woman gave birth, Isaac, the son of promise, as we all are. And then he had a couple of sons fighting. Hello, ain't Hadash, what's new? But suddenly, boom, is a dozen. Whoa, man, we're just beginning to multiply. Just like God promised. Took a bit longer than we thought, but there it is. But then what happened? There was a famine. And they went to Egypt. They went the wrong place looking for food. And so they went down to Egypt and they became enslaved. And they became enslaved for 430 years until slavery got in their thinking. And then Jesus came and supernaturally delivered them by Moses. And the Bible says, I will raise up for myself a prophet like unto Moses. So therefore, Jesus is a Moses. You understand what I'm saying? He is the deliverer of all mankind. He says, all of you, out. How many Egyptians? None, I'm going to kill them all. Just in case you think your sin is still around. But anyway, that ain't the point. So, okay, the Egyptians were killed. But there was one thing that wasn't killed. The slavery. The slavery was still in their heads. The slavery was still in their minds. And they refused to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. And they stayed slaves. And God said, listen, guys, I'm taking you back to where Abraham first started. But you can't get there as a slave. So you've got to die. And I've got to raise up a new breed that are just born and live by faith, that trust God for everything, because they're the ones who are going to inherit. Thus the gospel of, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation, to those who believe, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And Father, I just want to thank you. I need all the help I can get to express this gospel. But Father, I am this morning saying that these people sitting in these chairs are the people of the year. We're not looking to Abraham to do it, King David to do it, Elijah to do it, Peter or Paul or John to do it. We're not looking towards Billy Graham or Benny Hinn or Rick Warren. We are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Father, I thank you for this congregation. And I would really like this morning to pray for some people, especially young people, but not only young. Remember, what was the definition of young we got last week? Say it louder. A young person is a citizen of change. And this morning I want to pray for people. God spoke to me on Thursday and said this: people love counsel until it involves change. Then they turn a deaf ear. You see, as long as the counsel suits you, okay. But as soon as it involves change, we don't want to hear it. So I'm going to just, I don't know if maybe somebody could, we don't have maybe a guitar or something, or I don't know if we've got a CD we can play. If not, don't worry about it. But Father, I'm going to pray this morning for people who want to begin to move from a place of knowledge to a place of understanding, a place of action. I want to pray for people this morning. You can start coming forward. Who want to be able to understand the gospel. Who want to be able to understand the gospel. People who want to be able to understand it well enough to preach it. Understand it well enough to repeat it. To be able to say, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. To be able to say, I cannot but speak of the things that I've seen and heard. So, Father, I just continue to pray for the people who want you to minister to them by your Spirit so that they may know the truth. And the truth will set them free. Not only them, but we are in debt to the barbarian. We are in debt to those who are lost. And Father, I just thank you that I'm just praying this morning that if our gospel is hidden, it is veiled, it's hidden to those who are lost. Lord, I want to just see people raised up who are not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of speaking, not their own testimony, although that's always encouraging. Always encouraging. But those who are willing to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And those who just want to hear the gospel themselves and understand it so their life will be blessed, that they will stop walking away and forgetting what manner of man they are. And I thank you for them. In Jesus' name.